Hi, friends.
Some people started singing not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song
that never ends.
Yes, it goes on. No.
No, it does not, Joe. Does not go on and on. You know, it does go on and on.
What?
Comes naturally. We are
Joe.
He's silent today, and I'm Cody. Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode.
Welcome.
Of the world famous podcast known as Comes Naturally. Hi, Joe. What you doing today, buddy?
Nothing. Just, saw a movie.
Yeah,
hung out with a good friend.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, me. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. Was there someone else there?
Nope.
As Joe said, we watched a movie today in theaters today. I don't know why I added that second today. What did we see, Joe?
We saw Annihilation.
We saw Annihilation. So, for those who don't know what Annihilation is, it's the newest movie by Alex Garland. Joe, who's Alex Garland?
A director.
And?
You know.
A writer?
Writer.
He does things?
He does things.
How
the hell do you spell Annihilation?
Oh, it's fucked up.
For some reason, IMDb didn't like have it on their front page as like movies are out right now.
Telling you, man, Alex Garland is underrated, even though he's like done really like good stuff. Like he won an Academy Award and shit.
Man, fuck IMDb right now.
Yeah, IMDb, fuck you.
You literally have movies that haven't even come out really yet on here, and I can't find Annihilation.
Annihilation, Annihilation, Annihilation.
Okay.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Mr. Spelling Bee?
I just read it off the thing. I pulled it up on the Wikipedias.
Oh, that probably actually would be pretty smart to do.
Yeah. So, while Joe's looking at that, I'll tell you a little bit about Alex Garland. His most famous work to date is going to be Ex Machina, where he directed and wrote the screenplay, nominated for a shit ton of awards, didn't win enough of them, but won probably the most important one, which is going to be best screenplay for an Oscar win, so that's a good one for him. He also wrote and produced the newest Judge Dredd movie called Dredd, if we all know what those are. He wrote the screenplay for 28 Days Later, which is still one of my favorite. Not really horror movies, but or not a zombie movie, but like a horror action movie.
Right.
One of the best. By the way, if you've never seen 28 Days Later, it's not really a zombie movie. These people get infected with this virus that makes their rage just shoot through the roof, and they become rage infected by rage, and they start going nuts.
I didn't realize that he wrote Sunshine.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, him and Boyle.
Yeah.
So in that movie, that's where Danny Boyle got, like, he worked with him the first time on 28 Days Later and then worked again with him on Sunshine. Because whenever real artists work, they often work with people they know well and worked with before. Which is one of the reasons why sorry, what are you saying? What are you pointing at something?
It says Halo is his next unannounced project.
Yeah, so that's the running one right now. So he's up for the directorial writer for the Halo movie.
Like it says, the Halo video game. Is it happening?
Apparently, that's what they say.
Okay.
Yeah, it started to boil up again once the first trailer for Ready Player One came out, and you saw the Spartans.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah. Apparently, they just.
Those people lost their shit. I know I did.
Yeah. Spartans. But when Danny Boyle made 28 Days Later, he obviously worked with our buddy Alex Garland, but he also worked with like Cillian Murphy, who did an amazing job in 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, when he pretends to be all fucking crazy with the things, and he goes to that fucking house and starts just beating the shit out of people. Oh, I love that fucking part. But then they worked together, all three of them again. Worked with on Sunshine together, and then he ended up producing the second installment of the 28 movies, which is 28 Weeks Later. Never Let Me Go was his next one, and then he wrote and produced Dredd. He then produced a movie called Big Game, which didn't matter. And then, of course, comes 2015 when he does Ex Machina, blowing the top off of the movies. Like I said, got nominated for a ton of stuff. A lot of visual effects now, and a lot of writing, a lot of directing and screenplay work and stuff like that was he nominated for, which is a shame because really the actors should have been nominated for shit too for that. I think a couple of them were nominated for some stuff, but not a whole lot. Hmm. But anyways, Annihilation. Annihilation is a sci-fi thriller horror sort of movie. Horror because there's like extreme violence and monsters in it, but as Joe pointed out earlier, it's not really like a horror movie.
I went into it thinking, because exactly, you include horror, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrifying, you know, scary. And it really wasn't.
Yeah, it's not like, it's horror often, and not, this isn't a poke at Joe, but often a lot of times it gets out of that where it has to be scary. Horror is just, I mean, to me, is always something that's horrific in general, and there's some parts in this that were pretty fucking horrific.
Yeah, there were.
If you're afraid of alligators, there's a scene that's probably going to make you shit your pants.
Yes.
Because it's not fucking, I was like, yo, like, this is unsettling to watch because, A, that's a big-ass alligator. Oh, by the way, so we're going to spoil
a lot of it.
Pretty much the whole movie.
Everything.
So, you can go fuck yourself.
To be fair, I'm finding out that this is a book.
Yes, a series of books.
So, you had your chance.
Yeah. There's a scene. It actually, it's funny, I was going to bring this up after when we were talking about it earlier. He did a really weird thing in this where he paced it in the pacing, and it was very unconventional, I'd almost say, but a very good way of doing it because there is a lot of talking that goes into the movie.
Yeah.
I'm not talking dialogue, just overall talking, and a lot of visual stuff. But he did this thing where it felt like every 10 to 15 minutes, something action-y happened to then kind of like these little segments. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they're talking and something happens, and then like they're talking more, doing things, something happens. And it was a very weird, I guess it's a nice way of doing the pacing, so that way it's not just boring for a long time, and then something happens, and then you have this long draw, because I was kind of afraid, because in the book, obviously the books, there's a lot more to it, mm-hmm. I don't want to say it was boring, but there's the parts where you're going through, and then like with a book, it's like the last third of the book is just pure madness.
Okay.
And then the rest of it's all science-y stuff, and like mystery, and figuring shit out, and being weirded out, and shit like that. But yeah, the part of the alligator was, to me, it was funny. I was telling this Joe, and it wasn't like it was meant to be a jump scare. It was kind of ish meant to be a jump scare, but like I knew it was coming because I seen in the trailer where one of the characters is standing there and she gets pulled back into this doorway, and it's, we find out, by an alligator, giant alligator with fucking rotating shark teeth. But she's being jugged in the water and trying to get her out in this thing, and then it thrashes itself around inside this bungalow that has sunk into the water, and then it just strolls out the door, jumps in the pond. You're like, oh, so that was it for the action, right?
No.
This thing then charges them. They unload bullets into it willy nilly, and it's just taking them, and it starts to charge. And then like Natalie Portman's character lays down the law as this thing bears down on her with jaws open, and you can see into it, and the jaws are rotating inside like a buzzsaw. It was fucking nuts. I was like, well, that's when I would give up. I'd be like, yo, we're going back now, right?
Dude, yeah, right? There's so many instances that...
I'm out.
And eventually the characters were even like, nah, man, I'm done with this shit. This like, is fucked up.
Turn around now?
Yeah.
We're going to backtrack.
I want to go home.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for this shit. Yeah.
Very much so. There's some, I would have been like, yeah, big giant white alligator, with rows and rows of what looked to be shark teeth. Yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna go ahead and, just leave you guys here. You want to come with me? It's good. Otherwise, you're gonna fuck yourselves because this is madness.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of craziness going on, really. Around the whole thing. Well, that's weird. I just read this very strange. I didn't know that. The film was released by Paramount Pictures on February 23rd, which is last Friday. And is scheduled to be released in other markets on March 12th. by Netflix.
So, like, the rest of the world?
Apparently.
That's weird.
It's very weird.
But that's, like, the opposite of, there's a show that Netflix owns in the rest of the world. Actually, I think it's American Gods. It's on Netflix in the rest of the world.
But here it's on Stars?
Stars, yeah.
Huh. That's weird, but Paramount, I mean, Paramount's a
It's a big production company that should be able to put it out all over the world, yeah.
Hmm.
Unless they just didn't have the rights to it, or Netflix gave them better
money.
Money.
I mean, Netflix is fucking rights. Speaking of Netflix, we talked about this earlier. There's an article that came out that Netflix is getting this year alone. Netflix will release 800
original
content things in 2018. That's movies and TV shows. 800.
And granted, the majority of that is probably going to be individual episodes. But still, it's gnarly to think that's still 800 original things.
Stuff that they bought and they're releasing. This is the original stuff. I mean, you'll have 8 episodes of Stranger Things later this year. You have Jessica Jones.
And it includes the, you know, what else? Does Daredevil come out this year as well?
I don't know.
But it probably includes Altered Carbon and
yeah.
Shit ton of other stuff that I've already watched.
Yeah, it's like 10, 13 episode runs. But I mean, that's still 10 to 13 episodes each. That's roughly, it's a little less than 80 shows. That's 80 shows in a year. Mm-hmm. Network television doesn't do half of that.
No.
Like a channel, let alone all channels, don't do half of that.
I wonder if that includes also like comedy specials.
If it's one of theirs, probably. Yeah. It's original content.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's madness to think about. But I don't know why. It just literally shows up on the Wikipedia page for Annihilation.
Hmm.
I was just going to go here and I need to find the author of the book. His name is Jeff Vandermeer. It's a very strange name in general. The movie stars Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson. I don't know how to say this name. Tuva Navanti? Navanti?
Tuva Navanti, I would say, okay. Yeah.
Oscar Isaac, and oddly enough, not listed there, what's his name? Benedict Wong, right? Yeah, Benedict Wong.
Yeah.
For some reason, wasn't on the top portion of it. Very small cast. Small speaking parts, really. I mean, anybody who's had a line that they spoke out loud is pretty much listed here. The movie itself is, I will say, pretty much spot on to the book. I think there's a few changes that happened, but I think that's a lot of it has to do with for time, because you can't have a movie be the length of a book.
That's probably like a 16-hour read.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff you can cut out, because a lot of just nonsense like, oh, woke up all blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, so this is basically what happens. We find out that Natalie Portman's husband, played by Oscar Isaac, has gone on this mission that we don't know anything about. We don't know where to. But he's been missing for a year with no contact. Usually what happens is you would think they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So she's resigned, sort of, kind of resigned to think that she'll never see him again. Well, one day when she's painting the bedroom, and that's not a euphemism, she was literally painting the bedroom, he stumbles into the house. And she embraces him, and right away you know something's going wrong, because he does not embrace her back. And you would think a husband who's been, air quotes, missing for a year, would probably embrace his wife.
Yeah.
She starts to kiss him, and he's not kissing her back, and she's like, what's going on? And then they go to talk, and then she's angry at him because, like, she doesn't know where he's been, and he takes a sip of water, and blood starts running like in the water, and he's like, I don't feel well, and then, like, bad shit happens. They get picked up by a bunch of dudes in black SUVs. She wakes up in a pseudo-prison cell, and the mystery then begins.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of the movie.
Yep.
From there, you learn about she wakes in a place called Area X, which is a pretty cool way of doing it, where they segment the movie in three places. There's Area X, which is the facility they're using as their home base. There's the Shimmer, and then there's a lighthouse. Unlike the book, if I'm not mistaken, we don't actually know what caused the Shimmer. In the movie, they tell us it's from a meteorite that literally looks like it's like just, I'm going to go hit that place and just shoot straight down. Shoots into a lighthouse. You can see what we now know is we call the Shimmer starting to form around the lighthouse. You find out that when she awakes and gets told what's going on at Area X, that 3 years ago was the first sighting of it at a lighthouse inside this national park somewhere on the East Coast. Because she works at Johns Hopkins, right?
Yeah, I think it was Johns Hopkins.
And so when she gets introduced to it, you see this big rainbowy, oily wall of ooze that's running in multiple directions, shimmering, oddly enough, hence the name. And no one has any idea what it is. And you find out that it's been expanding over the last 3 years. And they've sent several different patrols in to investigate, from drones to manned vehicles to people on soldiers on foot, and nothing comes back. Nothing sends any signals through until one person shows up miraculously, who happens just to be Oscar Isaac's character, Kane, who was one of the members of the previous troop that went in. He obviously is not doing well. He has multiple organ failure. He's got internal bleeding. He can't breathe on his own. She decides that she's going to go and try to figure out what might have caused this, and she can help him, which doesn't really sound like you can help anybody who has multiple organ failure and has internal bleeding and they can't breathe on their own. That just seems like you should probably let him die.
Yeah.
But I'm not a scientist, so fuck it. So she decides to go in with she kind of forces her way onto the next group that she finds out's going in, which is an all-female group. And some people may think, oh, they're just trying to, you know, push women in because that's the big thing. And it's not. Actually, the book is the same way. All five of them that go in are women, but they all five of them have different skill sets going in. One's a biologist. One's a She's a biologist.
She's a biologist. Then you had the physics chick.
Yep.
You had the military chick, and then you had the head of the whole Area X.
Yeah, she's a therapist. She was there was what was the other one though? There was a fifth one.
There was what's her name? The one that
turned into flowers.
No, that was the
she was the physics one.
Physicist.
Yeah.
There was the other one that got eaten by the man bear.
Oh god, it's so terrible.
But I don't remember what her specialty was.
She was like, she was the one doing the magnetic force
geologist. That's
what geologist. That's yeah. What, yeah, that's right. There's that. So those are the five in there, and it's exactly the same way. So it's not an agenda to push powerful women. They decided to put all women together because they sent they sent a lot of soldiers.
All these men in here, and they've never come back. Let's try sending. Let's mix women it up and see what happens. Scientific method, people.
Yep. And no matter what you send in, it's not a good idea.
Not being a good idea.
Yeah, definitely not.
I mean, sort of. It did accomplish the mission of finding out what's at the center and actually stopping it.
Yep.
Spoiler.
Spoilers, as we said earlier. So they go in. Instantly, they lose a few days. Nellie Horn wakes up to a noise inside of a tent, and she's discombobulated. She's trying to figure out what's going on. She stumbles out and she sees everyone kind of already doing things, and they're counting out rations, and they're like, she's like, you know, they ask her questions, like, hold on, let me get oriented, like, yeah, us too. And they're counting out, and then you find out they somehow, even though none of them remember anything beyond the tree line, going through the Shimmer and then waking up, but have been there for 2 or 3 days because their rations have been,
that they've been eating.
Yep. So they automatically lost a few days, and they have no idea how. So the weirdness starts again right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they start walking. They break camp. They already lost some of the day. So they're going along. And that's when we get our first real look at, or science look, air quotes, at the environment and what's going on. they stumble upon the edge of a water of some water, and they see this bungalow that's kind of slowly sinking in, all this plant life, some boats. So they're going to investigate. So they kind of split into groups. Two of them stay by to look, check out the boats, see if they can use the boats to kind of get past everything, because there's a large body of water.
It's a swamp-like area.
Yeah, swamp-like area. The other three go, and they're looking at that. Natalie Portman is looking at the plant life because she notices that multiple different genus of plants are growing off the same vine, which can't happen.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And so one of the Tessa Thompson's character, who is the physicist, right?
I don't know.
I think so. I believe that's one. She goes into the bungalow. She comes out, says there's nothing there. That's when she gets snatched up from behind, ripped back into the room, and they run in after her, and she's being thrashed around in the water, and she's like, help me, something's got my pack. And so they fight, they wrestle away, and they get her away, and they're all, I would have been running from that fucking building, but they kind of go through, and they get out, and the whole thing starts to shudder, and you're like, oh, whatever it is, I'm thinking like an octopus or something.
I was thinking something,
you know?
Tentacles, something.
Yeah, and it starts to shudder, and all of a sudden it just violently shakes and then stops and then rumbles, and this giant, easily 12, 13 foot white and red, mainly because it's blood, alligator comes trudging out of the doorway, slides into the swamp, and as we said earlier, we thought, oh, that was the excitement for right now, right? Nothing else is going to happen. Nah, this motherfucker swims directly at them, comes up charging up the bank, and they're all free. They're like, holy shit, like, back up. A couple of them pop shots at it. It has no, it
shuts it off.
Yep, it's like, I don't care what this is. Those bullets aren't hurting me. Starts charging at one of them, starts to rear up. Natalie Portman just starts laying into it, so it turns at her and starts charging her, mouth agape, just open. And that's when you get to see the jaws inside, they're rotating, like spinning, like opposite each other, too, like a crazy buzzsaw. And she just unloads the clip of her assault rifle, just bah, 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 and it's taking damage, and then she just kind of and then stops and dies. And then they investigate it, and they see that it has not only like alligator teeth, but you can see like different types of teeth, and they're in successive rows, like boom, 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 like a shark. And then they're like, oh, could it, like, just like the plants, could they be crossbreeding? Like, you can't crossbreed different species. It's impossible. Unless you're in the Shimmer, because shit goes crazy. So they go from there. They decide to go. They go across the water, which to me is a terrible idea. I mean, you saw what just happened, what came out of the water.
Right. That can't be just a singular thing.
Yeah. Like, there's no fucking way I'm getting in a goddamn tin boat and going across this water. You're out of your fucking mind. I will walk until later. And then I would have been like, no, I'm going to walk the other direction. So they go across the water. They see something that catches their eye. They realize it's the military base that was originally set up to be the headquarters a couple years ago when the Shimmer was first discovered. And then they're like, oh, we'll use this as like our next little camp area. Because the whole thing is they're trying to make their way to what they believe is the center of it, which is the lighthouse. And again, because they don't know anything, they don't know if that's right or not, because they never got any word back from anybody. And Oscar Isaac's character fell into a coma because of the whole, like, you know, organ failure nonsense. But even those, like, she, like, Natalie Portman's character wasn't getting any questions out of him because he's like, I don't remember anything. I don't know what happened. I don't know where I was. I don't know how I got here. She's like, what's the last thing you remember? He's like, literally seeing you inside the room. And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, I opened my eyes. You're in a room. You seem to recognize me. Your face looks familiar. So we don't know what's going on. So they're assuming that's where they need to go. So they're making camp. They end up finding this baggie that says, for those who followed, I think is what it said on there, right?
Like, for those who follow.
Yeah.
For those who followed, yeah.
They open it up, and inside is a memory card. So they happen to have a camcorder because they have, you know, research equipment. They play it, and it is one of the most disturbing videos you can imagine. Until later.
Yeah,
because that whole thing was just fucking... So you see, like, videotape of, like, darkness and people moving around, and then you see it focus on a guy who's looks like he's being held back in a chair, and you hear water, and they're like, "Are you okay?" And Oscar Isaac looks at the camera and like, "All right, you prepare?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, go." And he's sitting there steadying a knife, and he goes over, and I'm like, "Is he gonna stab this guy like just willy nilly?" Yeah. No. He does stab him, but then he starts to cut. And he cuts across his stomach, and the guy's like struggling, and the other people are holding him there, and he cuts this little like flap, and they pull open, and you see his internal organs, and they're writhing, and you're like, well, that doesn't seem good at all.
No.
And so you would think that's where it stops, right? No, friends, it's not where it stops. Oscar Isaac then sticks his hand in behind what looks to be these writhing intestines and holds one, and you can clearly see it moving like a snake or a worm back in and out of the body. And I was like, well, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So they stop watching the video, and then they're like, they're trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. And then they're like, we need to like look around and find some more shit. Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, who's like the leader of the group, starts wandering off. One girl's like, where are you going? And they follow her, and they end up finding the place where this happens. And then you would think, oh, they're going to find this dude's body, right? They do. But it's not his body anymore. It has been exploded all over the wall into this growth of plant life, and his body's been ripped in half. Half of it's 6 feet up, 8 feet up the side of this, what we now know as the pool.
Mm-hmm.
The lower half of the body is still melted into the chair that he was sitting in. His upper torso, it literally looks like he exploded outward of plants. And has been drawn up. The top of his head has been stuck to the wall, but his lower jaw and neck and shoulders have pulled away and are frozen like that. It's very fucking disturbing.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been super unnerving to be on that set because it looked gnarly.
Oh, yeah.
It was very unsettling.
Yeah.
So they're like, holy shit, like, is this him? And I was like, hey, guys. I don't know about you. I saw the video.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that alligator. I would like to leave now. But no, they're like, we're in a camp here. I'm like, okay. But they're in a camp in there. They decide to camp up in a watchtower, which actually seems it's a really like a good idea.
Yeah.
But they're going to keep watch because, I mean, obviously an alligator popped out of almost virtually nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna go ahead and keep watch. So Natalie Portman wakes up. She looks for the person who's supposed to be on watch, which is Jennifer Jason Leigh's character. She sees that she's down on the ground level in a little bunker thing. She's like, all right, I'm going to go see what's going on. She goes down there. They're conversing about some plot stuff I'm not going to tell you about. And then a fucking noise happens. A of terrible course. Noise in the darkness.
Fucking noises in the dark.
Yep. Pitch dark, too. Like, this is, like, you can't see a foot in front of your face without a light, and even that doesn't go any further, right? So Natalie Portman pulls up these sweet fucking night vision binoculars. She's looking around. She's like, I don't see anything. They're hearing a little bit of noise, and then she stops and goes, oh shit, something tore through the fence. By then, a lot of the other girls have come down from the watchtower because they woke up because of the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, fucking loud ass noise. And she's like, something ripped through the fucking fence. And I was like, how about you go back up your little tower? Because the little cement bunker you're in.
Right, with not the light.
Yeah, like it's not gonna going to get. Yeah, like yeah. You're not, it's not good. All of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, one of their girls gets grabbed by something that you can barely see and just starts dragging. She's just screaming. They're freaking out. Natalie Portman's trying to see it, and she sees with the binoculars the night vision equivalent like outline of this massive bear looking creature dragging the girl away. She's screaming, you hear her growling. They chase towards the fence. You can still hear her screaming. They get to the fence, all of a sudden screaming stops, and they're yelling her name, nothing. So they go back, and in the morning they move on, even though like one of the girls is like, no, we need to fucking turn back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we saw what happened on that tape. We almost got killed by an alligator. This thing took what's-her-face. Let's call it quits. Let's just go. Right? Nah, Jennifer Jason Leigh's like, I'm going to make my way to the lighthouse. See, y'all motherfuckers can either follow me or die in the woods. This is essentially the what she gave her. So Natalie Portman's character convinces them to continue on. Well, as they're going through, they see a boot, and it's kind of bloody, and they're like, oh shit, that's Chick's boot.
Yeah.
She could still be alive. First off, no. She was not screaming.
After, yeah.
And then dead silent. And you found a boot.
Mm-hmm.
You continue walking. That's what I would do. Now, the Portman's like, I'm going to go look for her. I was thinking, not a great choice. Not a great choice at all.
That, yeah. The one thing I'll say real quick about this movie is that I loved how it didn't really... It played against a lot of those stereotypes where, you know, don't go in the woods alone for the most part. You know, at that one scene right there in the dark, I was like, oh, nobody bothered to bring night vision goggles with them. Oh, no, wait, there they are. They suddenly popped up. So yep. they managed to avoid a lot of these tropes except for there.
Yep. So Natalie Portman then says, I'm going to go look for her. And one of the other girls goes, I'm going to go with you. She's like, no, I'll go alone. And I was like,
bitch, did you fucking see that thing? I mean, yeah. You didn't see that thing. Yeah. I pulled it away.
But it ripped through a fucking chain link fence.
Like it was in nothing.
One swipe, no less.
Yeah.
You heard one noise, and one noise only. Not struggling.
No.
One noise. And it carried a whole person away.
But no, peace out. I'm going to go look for her alone.
Yep. So she goes. She comes about the body in a very weird, ish area. And the body isn't terribly mangled. You can see the pant leg has been ripped. The boot is missing. The foot's kind of gross looking, but obviously, you know, it was being drugged. But the body is dead. And she looks closer at it, and the throat area is completely ripped out of the body. And she's like, yeah, like this bitch, that is hell. There was a part, though, when she started to reach for her arm, like, this bitch is going to wake up.
Oh, I thought that, too.
And nothing. No. I was like, oh, you sons of bitches. Mm-hmm. You got me. Because I'm like, I'm bracing myself for like a jump scare.
She's going to suddenly take like, and exactly. Grab her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nope. No. Cut didn't happen. To her walking out to where they were kind of chilling, waiting for her. She's like, they're like, did you find her? She's like, and she's deadpan. She's like, yeah, she's dead. I was like, that's not a fucking understatement. Her throat just
was gone.
Not there.
Nope.
There's nothing in this front area. Just gone. It goes chesticles. Big open gaping wound. What's left of her chin?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. That's what you got. So then they go on because the whole plan was on the map. They saw there was this town that was one of the first things they evacuated when they pretended there was a gas leak, right? I think is what they said, or oil spill, or toxic spill, or something nonsense.
Yeah, something like that.
So you roll up, and this whole place is overrun by plants. And like all crazy looking plants with trees with all these colorful flowers on them. And this is one of the girls who's freaked out already, the military lady, or she was a paramedic. She just got this just blank look on her face, and she sees this table and stuff. I'm like, oh, she's going to go chill at this table.
Yeah.
So she goes and sits down, and as the other ones wander over, they're looking at something. And then the camera finally pans to where she was looking, and there's these plants in the shape of people. Like, one is a little kid holding a mom's hand, or a bigger version, what it looks like a lady, but made all of, like, out of, like, branches and flowers and shit. And they're like, these grew like this.
Yeah.
Okay. That's another clue. You should probably not be here, because plants are trying to grow in people. That's not normal.
Did you half expect them to suddenly
No, I expected them to move. Yeah. I expected what happens is we would see them, they would go do something else, and those same group would be somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, you wouldn't see them move, but you'd see that they're physically not where they were.
Yeah.
And I would like that tell you, like, yo, we should probably...
We're not camping here.
Yeah, like, we should probably start fires.
Yeah.
On these things.
Yep.
Then there's some more science-y stuff that goes on, explaining some certain things. I'm not going to go into it. You can watch for yourself. Then they decide, hey, we found this one house that seems not to be run down, because one of the first houses they stop at, which they didn't seem to bring up, but they knew it wasn't a great place to stay, had a giant tree growing through the middle of it. And not like one of those fancy rich people houses where they built a house around a giant tree. Now, this shit sprung out through the middle of the house, and you can see because the roof is like pushed out from it, and it's a big tree.
Mm-hmm.
Not like this, oh, it's a mutant tree, it grew real fast. This thing's like diameter of like feet. Yeah. Big tree. Like, you can't see the top of the tree from the angle, the camera angle. That's how big this tree is. So you're like, well, obviously that house is probably not the most structurally sound to be in.
No.
Plus, there's a giant tree in it. So that tree gets that house. We'll find another one. So they go on, and they find this nice little house. What I thought was creepy is it looked a lot like Natalie Portman's house.
Did it?
Yeah. She walked up, and then she has the stairs.
There was
you saw
the,
that picture,
yeah,
and
picture
I was like...
on the side. It did get me with that picture right there, that it kind of had like a mirror of her house type of thing.
I would have
thing,
to see it again
really,
to see how the layout was, but I was like, that was very eerie, because that had that scene of when he first walked into the house, and he looks at the pictures, and he's right by the staircase. I was like...
It did, like, I got that right there, but the rest of the house I didn't really think
about. Yeah, so you go, they're like, all right, let's do this, and I thought they're going to investigate the house. Like, you see them investigate, they're just kind of poking around, but nothing really happened. And then another shot to nighttime, Natalie Portman wakes up, because apparently she can't sleep very well. She has this feeling, she's been looking at plant life and investigating with her little microscope, which she's been carrying with her, which is crazy because it weighs like 400 tons.
Right.
So it must be like a crazy sci-fi space one. Weighs almost nothing. Look. She decides to look at her own blood. She pokes herself from like one of like, it just seems like a very drastic, like you could just poke the finger. She just takes a X-Acto knife and just jams it in her arm. I was
right? Like no syringes or anything. Just, no little pokey finger thing. Yeah, just fucking took a scalpel and just...
Like a little poke, little hole. Yep. Investigated her blood and then saw her cells were dividing, like most blood cells do, like all our cells in general, they will divide because that's part of the whole idea of this movie is the cells are immortal, but yet we still die. And she notices that her blood, just like a plant she tested earlier, divides the same way but turns into a different cell. Mm-hmm. It has a different coloring, different structure, and they start to actually form different shapes. Because normally cells is a very roundish, like a ball. These ones go into like almost a triangle-ish trapezoid shape and then start to divide as themselves. And she's like, fuck, like we are we're infected.
Yeah.
Like, this crazy bitch was right. This is like, this is what's happening. So she goes back to sleep, knowing that, obviously all of them are got crazy fucking, disease going on or whatever. She gets woken up with a gun pointed at her face, said, "You're a fucking liar." And she's like, right before she did it, she gets fucking gun butted in the head when that old lady yelled.
Yeah.
In the theater, it was so funny. He's like, oh, I was like,
that's what you yelled at? Yeah.
Her getting fucked. You could see that was coming.
Yeah. She wakes up, you see the gun butt, and then douche.
Like the worst time to, oh my God. It's like, really? That's
when
funny. I giggled out loud. I was like, this bitch so unprepared. She wakes up from being hit in the head with a gun, and she's gagged and tied to a chair, and the military paramedic chick is like, oh, you're awake, you fucking liar, and just calls her out because she didn't tell any of them that her husband was the guy who came back. Well, they found her locket.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, this is your brother or like friend, boyfriend, husband. Oh, husband, I see you tweeting. All right. So she's like, you did this. And she's like, if I set you free, you're going to cut me open and see that my intestines are moving. And she's like, no, that's why you're tied to a chair. And I was like, oh, shit. She's going to do the thing that Kane did to that one guy, which is going to be super weird because it's not important. She's supposed to survive, air quotes. And she's going to. She's going at her with a knife. I was like, this is about to get pretty crazy. What I thought was going to happen is because the camera then locked on to Tessa Thompson's character. I was like, oh, she's going to go after her instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's fucked up. Like, she's like the not I'm going to say calm, cool, collected one, but she's like the meek one. Like, I was like, oh, she's not going to give up a fight, so she's going to get her, right?
Yeah.
Then you hear a noise. And guess what it is? Noise in the darkness. So what does she do? Goes alone.
But what specifically? It sounds like...
It does.
Like, what's her name?
It sounds like
screaming.
This girl screaming. She's like, says her name, runs out there. You hear a commotion, a thud, and then you see a shadow. And the shadow does not look healthy.
No.
The shadow looks a lot like a skull. And then it enters the frame, and it is a skull. But the skull's got flesh on it. Barely, a lot of a lower jawish area, and it comes in, it's lumbering in, and it's this fucked up bear. And you realize, oh shit, is that the burr that got what's her face? And then it opens his mouth and screams, and it's the lady's scream. And you're like, All right, first off, wait, what?
Yeah, no, we don't need no parrot, bear, man, pee things.
And it comes around and you see it and you realize, oh shit, it didn't just eat her throat, it took her voice box and somehow mutated itself to use it. And it keeps screaming with her voice. And I was like, this is so unsettling. And it comes up and it puts its head up between Natalie Portman's character and Tessa Thompson's character and sniffs. But it's like a snotty, throaty sniff. And I was like, ugh. But then it does a quiet scream with that voice. And I was like, this is super unsettling.
Yeah.
And then it makes its way around and goes up to Tessa Thompson's character and screams in its in her face. And I was like, oh, this is going to get bad real quick. Then paramedic chick comes stumbling in with blood on her face and she screams and starts shooting at this thing. I was like, you're going to hit one of them ladies tied to a chair for sure.
Seriously, right?
You just see like Tessa Thompson's fucking head explode or something.
I was expecting
that. Yeah. But she's doing not damage.
Relatively well.
Yeah. You know, but she's hitting the bear thing.
Yeah.
So it just charges, knocks over, I think, all three of them at that point.
Yeah.
Or two of them. I think because Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, I think, is still sitting.
Yeah.
Knocks over Natalie Portman's character, who starts to scramble, knocks down Tessa Thompson's character, charges this chick, brands her against the wall. They start fighting. It is a mauling, like Revenant level mauling of this poor young lady. It's thrashing her. She's not doing anything to him, to it. I don't know if it's him, whatever, the bear thing. It's going through, and it's fucking it's done. It's like, you know, I'm done with you. Takes one swipe of her face and rips out her throat and lower jaw, completely gone. I was like, oh, oops.
Ooh, yeah.
So then at that point, I think Natalie Portman got a gun, right? And
yeah.
She fires at it, and so it charges her. Oh, no. No, because she's still in the chair. It turns back, sees her.
Oh, it was going after Natalie Portman. Yep. It was Tessa.
Tessa Thompson, yeah, because it then goes right at Natalie Portman's character, pins her against the wall, and she's fighting it off, and then all of a sudden you hear bah, 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 and then you realize Tessa Thompson picked up the gun and starts blasting this fucking bear creature in its head, and the bullets start ripping through the far side, one of the goriest things I've seen, and just chunks and it's choking and its brains are being blown out the side of its head and eventually falls dead, and I was like, oh, that was intense as fuck.
Yep.
And then like that scene's kind of over, and they cover the body, and it's kind of morning-ish, and Jennifer Jason Leigh's character's packing her shit up because she's just like, I'm out, like I'm gonna go, I'm done here. I'm like thinking myself, you're gonna continue on?
Yeah.
This is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. It screamed a lady's voice. It screamed a lady you were hanging out with a little while ago, screaming her voice.
Yeah.
And had part of a human skull thing on its skull.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to investigate?
Nah.
You're not going to go the other direction? You're going to go, okay, cool. Well, Natalie Portman's like, suck a dick. I ain't going anywhere. Like, I'm going to take a moment.
Yeah.
So she goes and finds Tessa Thompson's character, who, I don't know if she was burying her or what she was doing, but she was looking at these plants, and they start having a talk, and she's rubbing her arm, and when she takes her hand away, you see these fucking, her veins are, like, at first you see her, and you can see, like,
it looked like almost an infection.
Infection in her veins. Like you can see bluish, yeah, like dark blue.
Discoloration on her face.
And then she moves her hand and you see vines, like plant vines, growing out of her skin and in and out. Mm-hmm. And you can see it growing. And I was like, well, that's not normal.
No, not at all.
No, that's not good at all. And she stands and you can see all of her arms are writhing like, mm-hmm. with the plant underneath and starts to poke out. And I was like, oh, she has little talks. Like, you know, it's not that bad here. Like, we should stay. I'm thinking, all right, first off, I know some shell shock is hitting you, but that bear was screaming with your friend's voice.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Nothing about this is okay. Nothing about this makes me think I want a vacation here.
Yep.
So she starts wandering off, and Natalie Portman's like, hey, hold on, hold on. And you can see her just turning. Like, the plants are poking out of her skin more, and I was like, you should probably just let her be, because
she's accepted it, too.
Yeah, she's just like, she's like, I'm good. I'm like, no, you're not. First off, again, shell shock, you're not good. At all. Not even close to good. Good doesn't measure on what you are right now, but I don't think you know that.
Yeah.
So she's wandering off. She runs after her. She comes around the bend, and she's gone, air quotes. And then you realize, oh, those weren't plants that grew in the shape of people. Those are people who grew into plants.
Yeah.
And she's just a plant person now.
Yep.
And then I checked me out. I was like, oh, now they're going to move.
No.
Nope. Just cuts to Natalie Portman on the sand in the beach. It goes back to them talking to her in the room after the 4 months she comes back. Anyways, I skipped over that. It doesn't matter. You can watch a movie. She's then standing on the beach. She puts her pack down. She's looking at this calm water that has this eerie reflection of the shimmery oil thing, which every surface is reflecting has it. I'm like, so creepy. Mm-hmm. And it has that storm noise you hear in the entire thing. Just so unsettling. And she turns, and as she turns, you see all the plant life has become glass. All right, that's another clue. You should probably not be there. Plants are glass.
Mm-hmm.
They're glass plants. Don't walk towards them. And you see the lighthouse, and somehow the lighthouse is still going. It's got a light in it. I'm like, really? No maintenance? An asteroid hit it, or meteorite hit it, and it's still going?
Yeah, why not?
I'm out.
Why not? Nope.
She wanders up there. I'm like, she's going to get attacked by something. Something terrible is going to happen. I was wrong. It's not nothing. You go up. You see another unsettling scene, which is human remains, just the bones, kind of organized in a weird way, like not a like it's in a pattern, but like it's a
very semicircular. You have, which was to me, I was trying to count how many bodies were there. There were like
it was at least 8 skulls. I think
no, there was like 11 skulls.
Oh, there, was there? Okay.
Which, A, was an odd number to me, but B, the number of skulls there didn't seem to match the number of rib cages there. So it was it was kind of weird. But then again, when they did show different angles, you did see that there were more body or bones scattered throughout. Yeah. But it was just like the skulls were aligned in a semicircle.
95 then, ribs per fucking person lined up there.
And then the like 3 rib cages behind those. And it was just like, it was so like, there's something there to it.
We just don't know what it was.
But we just don't know what.
Yeah. So she goes up and I was like, you should probably knock. No, she just opens it up.
Yeah. Why?
And then you can see like there's a hole in the side of it and like this weird white, same color as the White House, like roots are like attached all over. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem normal. She opens the door up. She just walks in and shuts the door. I'm thinking, all right, I guess this is where it's gonna go, right? Like, okay, let's do this. She goes in, she's looking around, you see this scorched fucking body sitting down with a scorch mark on the wall behind it, and you're like, well, that is not good.
No.
And she turns and she's a camera on a tripod facing it. And I was like, oh, don't watch this video. It's not going to be good.
At that moment, I looked at that and I was like, is that what's her name? Is that,
that's what I thought. So I was like, oh. Because
it looked like the exact same camera and everything. And yep. Like, did she find the center, the lighthouse, and just decide to like
burn herself? Yeah. So I was like, you don't want, I mean, I know you didn't really have like a good relationship with her, but you don't want to watch this.
No.
I was correct on one thing. You definitely didn't want to watch it.
No.
Because it was fucking weird.
Yeah.
Turns out that body was her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be asking yourself, or us, hey, Cody, that don't make no sense. You said he's back at Area X. Yeah, see, the thing about that is he was talking to somebody, and he explains, like, I don't know if I'm Kane or if you're Kane. And I was like, oh, shit. There's another Kane.
Yep.
And he's talking to him, or he's insane. But yet, we know he doesn't kill himself, but he's sitting right where that scorched body is. He goes, then he says, you ever seen what happens with a phosphorus grenade? I was like, oh, shit. I thought it was some crazy creature with magical powers just, like, zapped him. No, this dude phosphorus grenaded himself, and it was terrifying.
Yep.
Right before he does it, he says, if you make it back, let, what's her character's name?
Lena.
Lena?
Lena.
Lena, whatever it is. Lena. No, I love her.
Natalie Portman's character.
Yeah, Natalie Portman's character, because that's her husband. And I'm like, oh. And then you see this form stand up, and you can tell from the back automatically it looks like the same version of Kane we saw when he left and when he arrived, with the slick back hair and the normal clothes. And he turns towards the camera, and we, as long as that, and Natalie Portman, we're like, what the fuck? And he's like, shield your eyes, pulls the pin, counts down from five, and then boom, camera just goes all white with the phosphorus going off. And as it slowly comes back to focus, you can see him just burning right there. And mm-hmm. the fire just keeps kind of burning on him as the phosphorus obviously is burning from when it spread. And then just she closes the camera and she's like, can't watch anymore. I'm like, you shouldn't have watched at all. Like, that was not good. Then she hears a noise in the dark, and what do?
You would go investigate.
Yep, because
at this point you have nothing else to do.
Yeah. At this point, it's not like you're just being dumb. At this point, you're like, oh well, I've come this far. I'm here. Fuck it, let's see what it is. And you go. She goes in the hole, and the hole looks very just like it's got this weird crystalline blue look to the outside of it, and the white veins / roots coming up along the walls. And so she goes inside of it with her gun, which is a great idea, because bring a gun all the time, because if you learn anything from going alone in the darkness, you're going to need a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes down, and as she slowly starts to walk down the hole, you realize, like I saw it visually, she's walking down bone structure.
Yeah, that was very alien-esque.
Geiger-ish, yeah.
Very Geiger-ish, except it had this weird, like, moving texture type of look.
Yeah, and it was that oily look to it, with like that shimmer of rainbow, which the shimmer had. That's why I keep saying oily. Then you see, from the other perspective, is a weirdly mutated face of Jennifer Jason Leigh talking to somebody, but murmuring.
Super fucking creepy. Super creepy. Because her eyes were...
It almost looked like it was melting.
Melted over.
Yeah. You can see her mouth and like a form of a nose, but it looks like her forehead just melted down.
Yeah.
And then she hears Natalie Portman's character, because she says her name, and she turns. She goes, now we're from Natalie Portman's view, and she turns and you're like, oh, she's going to freak out because, oh wait, she got eyes now.
Yeah, she looked completely fine. But
she looked normal. And she's like, I was just talking to it. And I was like, you should probably go now.
Mm-hmm.
And then so... She's like, who were you talking to? She's like, it was it. Like, I don't know what it wants, but it's inside me. And I was like, oh, you need to go now. Now. Like, yeah. Let's round this up. You should probably just leave. Like, yo, have fun with your new beach house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go take pictures with the glass plants.
Yeah, I'm going to go leave, and we'll nuke you from orbit.
Yep. Nope. That's not what happens.
No.
She erupts into light. Like, she's just vomiting light out, and she's, like, violent, and then you see, like, her body's burning, and I was like, well, this took a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And, sure enough, envelops into this weird rotating, I don't want to say sphere, because it was, like, this...
It was very,
mutating...
I thought of it earlier, and I can't remember what it was now. But it's that, like, type of chaotic geometry that actually looks... pretty.
Yeah.
But it's like folding in on itself.
And it's vomiting itself back out. Yeah. And then like, it's just, and it's emitting light and it's getting closer to Natalie Portman. And I was like, you should probably leave.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like mesmerized and it gets super close. I'm like, it's getting in your face. It like, just going to boom, end the movie. You know what I mean?
It was like, she's just going to suddenly realize that she's inside of it.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like, and then she's like looking out at herself, but it gets really close, and then it's this really zoomed-in shot of Natalie Portman's face from inside the thing, and a droplet of blood gets sucked off a cut on her nose and gets pulled into the thing and starts to divide the cells. And as the camera pans out, it forms a body, and it slowly turns into this metallic form that's sort of human-ish but doesn't have any features. Natalie Portman then gets a little bit wiser and says, oh, fuck this nonsense. Pop, 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 and you're thinking, oh, she's going to kill it, right?
Yeah.
No, the bullets go in and become tentacles on the outside and just stop.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no, that was a mistake. I'm gonna go ahead and leave now.
Yeah.
This is not where I parked my car. I'm just gonna go check on it real quick. Scuttles up the fucking weird bony throat hallway thing, back out the hole, looks back at the hole like, is it following me? Turns back, that shit's in the room already, just staring at her. And she stops, and it stops. She moves, and it mirrors the move, and I was like, oh, this is not good for anybody. Some stuff happens. It, I thought, was going to rape her at one point, like against the door.
Yeah, that was, I thought the super same unsettling thing as well.
I was like, is this going to happen? Like, yeah. is this how it got inside her?
That's what I was wondering, too.
Because this is very very uncomfortable to sit in.
Yes.
And then eventually they both fall, and you realize it's mimicking her. And because it was pushing her up against the wall, it was pushing her up more because it was mimicking her being pushed up against the door. I was like, oh, this thing's stupid.
Yeah.
But, like, smartish in a way. So then it knocks. She falls on the ground. It lays down next to her in the same position. Then starts mimicking her movement again. So she realizes what's going on. So she kind of sidesteps, goes down to the pack next to her now fucking corpse husband. Reaches in. You're like, oh, shit. She gonna get one of them grenades.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of know what's gonna happen, right?
Yeah.
And then the magic happens. She tricks it into thinking it, pulls the pin, and is like, adios, you slimy fuck.
Fucking takes off.
And just takes off. And as the door shuts, the grenade goes off and lights the creature on fire. And it has no idea what to do.
Yeah.
So it starts to mimic the fire. And it's like, oh shit, like, I've found a new thing. And starts lighting everything else on fire. It's touching. And then that starts to go through. And blammo, Shimmer is dead. Everything is dead. Go back to Area X where she's being interviewed, which is how the whole story is being told. And she finally says, so can you tell me what happened to my husband? And you hear Benedict Wong say, well, as soon as the Shimmer disappeared, he was fine. He woke up. He's been conscious, he's been alert, but he doesn't remember shit. So she walks in, she looks at him and goes, are you Kane? And he says, I don't think so. And she's like, super weird. Yeah. And he's like, are you
Lena?
And she's like,
and doesn't say anything.
Yeah, and she's like, and then they embrace, and it zooms in on his eyes, and the fucking irises are moving and changing color.
Yeah,
with a shimmer. Then it goes to her, and I was like, oh, is she going to notice something? Nope. Her eyes did the same thing.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, shit. I don't know. This is like an Inception thing. Mm-hmm. Is the top going to fall? Is it even his? Is it a dream?
Do those
kids have faces? We don't know.
Credits.
Credits with crazy fucking background stuff. And a really cool, the viney thing. And then it fades the title Annihilation, and then it gets eaten up by the weird shimmery thing, and then credits. And so it leads you to think, yo, was that her? Was that it? Is he it? Is, like,
what is it?
Yeah, like, what is it? Like, yeah, it was cray cray. Gorgeous movie. Fucked up, but that's Alex Garland for you. Happy ending, my asshole. He's never made a goddamn happy ending in his life, I'm pretty sure.
No.
Because if you guys all forgot about the ending of Ex Machina, the robot wins, by the way. Locks fucking lover boy in a closet to starve to death because there's no one else around. Because why? She done murder, death, killed everybody. Got in the helicopter like she was supposed to. Got flown to the city. Gone. Now she's murder, death, killing whatever she wants. That's not a happy ending.
No.
Unless you're a robophobe and then, or a robo person. Not a phobe. What's the one where you want to have sex with him? Robosexual?
Robosexual, let's go. Yeah.
We'll use Futurama quotes. A robosexual, and then you're like, I want to bang this robot. And then, first off, that means something's wrong with you. No offense, but that's not cool. But anyways, so this movie, I loved it, but I'm also very unnerved by it because the visuals were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes me think that I don't know what was going on. But then it reminds me of the book. I still have no idea what happened in the book. I only read the first one because I knew that's what they're basing the movie on. That's why I read the first book. And I still don't even know what happened in that one. Because there's no answers in that book. There's no answers in this movie. I was like, man, Alex Garland, you make some dope-ass movies. I don't know what the fuck's happening. Well, I do know something got out because they're not the same.
No, and I wanted to point out something. I while you were explaining the movie, I realized. Did you notice that she did not have a tattoo at the beginning?
Tattoo. Of the yeah, none of them did.
But by the end of the movie, she did.
Before all of them died, they had it.
Also, the guy who gets his stomach cut open had it as well.
And so did Isaac's character.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was that weird, like, eight snake thing. Like,
and she even pointed out at the beginning, after the encounter with the albino alligator, where she has a bruise.
Yep, she has a bruise, yeah.
And then later, in the exact same spot,
it has the
Infidia sign, or I was looking it up. People were saying it looks like the snake eating its tail.
Yeah, but it's like an infinity sign. Yeah. And it makes sense because that's exactly what it is when it's going. That whole blobby thing was like spewing itself out and eating itself, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw the same thing and I was like, this is like, didn't touch on shit.
No.
Nobody noticed. I mean, at that point, it even tells you that everyone's mind starts to break down, so they're not really in their own right headspace, anyways. But yeah, I was like, because none of them had it. And then the one girl had it. She ended up dying. Then the other girl had it. She ends up dying. Plant girl had it. She ends up turning into a plant and probably still living. Mm. Well, actually, she's probably burnt up now because everything burnt when fucking
right.
The shimmer died. But Natalie Portman had it. Kane had it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yeah, no one's going to touch on this fact. Like, nobody. That's cool. I don't need the answers.
No, and that's what this whole movie was about. I know you said you loved it. I really liked it, but god damn it. It really was. It leaves you thinking.
Yeah.
Which is good, which is, what you want in a movie. And I'm actually surprised it has a higher Metacritic score than what I thought it would be for such a heavy
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's sitting at 80 right now.
The Rotten Tomatoes had it like 85 or 86, I think.
Which is surprising because things that these movies that you really have to think about
don't
do that. Even after the movie, I know we were talking about it. Like I couldn't quite place what was going on. Like I knew that you had genetic modifications happening.
Yeah.
But why?
Yep.
Essentially still the question. And you put a pretty good response, which was essentially something along the line of, this creature doesn't, whatever this thing is, doesn't really know much about humanity and the plants and everything. So it's trying to figure things out. And at the same time, it's kind of just playing with the DNA.
Yep.
It found a bunch of Legos and
decided to start building shit.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't understand the structure. So it starts to break shit down and redo it and mix and match. And it's like it somehow found a whole thing of like Plebos and Mega Blocks and Legos. And what are the children ones?
Mega Bloks, isn't it?
No, the Lego children's version.
Isn't that Mega Bloks?
No, Mega Bloks is the shitty version of
Legos. I thought Mega Bloks was the...
What? That doesn't matter.
Duplo.
Duplo. That's Duplo. The one.
Never mind. You're right, Duplo.
Yeah, Duplo.
Yeah.
And it found all those and said, you know what? I could use these
like,
all together.
They looked similar, I'm going to just start sticking them together and see what I form.
Like,
and
you're if like, you push hard enough.
It's completely fucked up, but it does actually work.
Yeah, if you push hard enough, a Mega Block and a Lego will go together.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this thing did.
Yeah.
This entity of whatever. And it's like, I'm just going to start doing it, and it starts rearranging blocks, and bad things start happening. That's what happens when you fuck with DNA in general. Well, we know that as being we've cloned things and those turn out terrible most of the time. But yeah, that thing, that's it for we'll stop on that one.
On that one?
Yeah, okay. We're at three. We're out a little over an hour. Anything else? Unless there's anything else you want to bring up.
No, like I said earlier, I enjoyed the movie also because it doesn't fall into a lot of those tropes.
Yeah.
Like I said, the only problem that I had was where she goes out alone, but even in that, it doesn't. There's no real jump scare in what's her name thinking that she's coming back to life or something. I found it to be a really good and interesting movie. The only thing that bothered me throughout was Lee's character,
Jennifer Jason Leigh. Yeah,
she was just really freaking weird. They kind of explain it because they say later that she's got cancer, but it was just a really weird.
Yeah,
like she her hands were constantly, you know, doing something, and she was talking.
She never
really
looks
weird.
At people's faces.
It was a little unnerving to me.
Yeah,
her character.
Very much so.
In which case, I haven't read the book, and it could explain more why she's like that.
A little bit. She's very standoffish in the book, but she's not like that. I mean, well, maybe, maybe not. It's hard to see. In the book, you're reading words or listening to words. In this, you get visuals. But
they can still explain more what's going on in some person's head rather than just watching and having to portray that through acting.
I will say this, though. Annihilation is used differently in the book than it is in the movie.
Because here in the movie, she's on that pedestal platform, and she says something about, you know, something, then annihilation. Yep. That's when she suddenly erupts into light jellyfish type things, and then it all coalesces into the one fractal type thing. That's the word I was trying
fractal. To there fractal. You go. That's the word. I was not thinking of that. I was thinking fucked up blobby thing that vomited and ate itself through its own butt. It was very unsettling, and I like those movies.
Yeah, it was.
You know what's funny? The her going alone into darkness, anybody going alone in the darkness is a fucking terrible idea. And it didn't bother me as much because it's like, you know, whatever. They weren't really right in their heads anyway, so fuck it.
By
right?
that point, it was like she just wants to get the mission fucking done.
Yeah.
You've already lost, what, 2 people at that point? You almost lost another one at least. You later find out that you do lose another one, so it's just down to
the two. Yeah, so that didn't bother me as much. The one thing that, oddly enough, bothered me is the fact that the camcorder that filmed Kane blowing up still had power.
Yeah, why not? He'd shut it off.
I guess so. That's the only thing. I was like, but even then, it still drains power. We don't know how long it's been there, but I was like, I've dealt with Sony products before.
But it's a good point, but I don't know. It's another weird thing where they say, like, how long was Oscar Isaac in the Shimmer?
Well, we know he was missing for a year.
Right. So he was missing for a year in our time, but what's that in their time? Because...
and well, not just that time, but also we don't know when that took place, because obviously
he could have been at the base for a while.
Yeah, and that one could have left right after, and so it means it would have been right there. But we don't know how long they were in the... I mean, it was a bit of... We saw them a couple days, but we know they lost a couple days, so it could have been like 6 days. At one point, they say it's 6 days. You know, another 2 days back or whatever it happens to be. But, like, yeah, it's like that's the only thing that really, like, it didn't bother me, but I was like, it seems a little convenient that camera still worked. But whatever, I'm okay with it. I mean, a weird alien creature thing fractaled itself into a Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at that point, yeah, go ahead, and that Sony battery worked. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I liked it a lot. I kind of want to see it again for the little things. Like the house, and see if it actually is the same build, which would be super weird.
The house, the tattoos, attention to them a little bit more.
Just little visual things, like other... There's a lot of things that they threw in that nodded to stuff in the book about details. Like I told you about the yellow moss slime stuff moving with inside those things.
Yeah.
And the guy exploded out, and the girl that turned into the plant, that happens, but it's... It's less of her turning into a plant and more of a plant growing over her. Because it's like slime. I think it's like a slime fungus thing touches her and then like starts growing a plant on her and like using her as like planter.
Like a fertilizer.
Yeah, fertilizer. And then she collapses. They leave her there and they come back and she's just a plant. Mm-hmm. And starts to grow up the wall and shit like that. And then they realize that happened to other people because there's other things like that plant there in that little spiral staircase thing. Yeah, so there's other stuff like that. And then I kind of want to read the other books to see if they explain anything fucking happens.
At least explain what happens to Natalie Portman's character and Oscar Isaac's character afterwards. Because obviously, are they allowed to live out their life?
Yeah, do they let them leave Area X? Do they keep doing tests on them?
Exactly.
Do you think they got to start doing some tests and realize that they're probably not normal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was literally dying. The Shimmer goes away, and he's perfectly fine.
And she's the only one, well, one of two now, to only survive it.
And they happen to be married.
She didn't walk in with that tattoo, and now she has one type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I would be like, I'd be strapping them down and taking parts off left and right. I need to figure out what you is.
Right.
And if a part grows back, I know you ain't normal. But, yeah, no. Yeah. I was hoping it was going to be good. I was hoping it wasn't going to be a fucking dumpster fire. Because it could definitely could have been.
It definitely could have been.
Because there's a lot that could have gone wrong with that.
I don't think it was. It was definitely a good movie. It's definitely a movie that you have to think about.
Yeah.
Definitely a movie, like I said earlier, after we got out of the movie, like I want to know more.
Yeah.
I just don't want that more once you find out to be like stupid, inane shit.
Like this is all the daydream of a autistic kid in the hospital.
Yeah, exactly.
And the last thing we'll talk about is we like to do this on this show. What do you think the budget was of the movie?
Oh, including all the CGI and stuff, it could easily be over $300
million. $50 million.
Bullshit.
Yep. $50 million.
Bullshit.
Yeah, man. That's fucking nuts, right?
Yeah.
All of that for 50 mil.
Because that even includes Natalie Portman's...
That includes the actors. That includes what has to be sets. There's no fucking way they found that any of that stuff in real life. I mean, obviously, the building of the plant, like the putting shit on the trees.
Yeah.
That pool scene alone, that's got to be money. That dude ripped apart with the plant growing and like the skull and the thing with the visual effects of the fucking the intestines moving.
Whether you include that as a CGI or you do that as practical, it's going to be expensive to do no matter what.
The bear?
Yeah, exactly.
That had been a mix of practical and effects, CG. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you can't skin a bear's face and let it walk around.
But I like that we're able in this day and age to be able to get that quality of CG and practical effects for such little money, and that's how we get shows like The Magician or The Expanse.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, and I love it. Yeah, I hope Netflix keeps doing this.
Yeah, I was like, yo.
Or Paramount. I'm not sure at this point who actually did it.
Who fucking knows?
Who fucking knows? But as long as it gets to Netflix, I'm okay with it.
I'll watch it a bunch of more times.
Yeah, right.
But I think that's it for this week's episode.
Yeah.
That was Annihilation, kids, brought to you by your favorite podcast, our favorite podcast, Comes Naturally. Speaking of which, we are...
Joe.
Still not going to say much, huh? And I'm Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.